Hey. You're supposed to say hey.
Hey.
There we go. Let's open our Bibles, James chapter 4. James chapter 4. And the Word of God is just so incredible, but it's just so much. Every time I say, oh, that's my favorite passage. Oh, that's the best. No, that's the best. But, you know, it's all the best, really, isn't it? It's just, like, incredible, God's Word. So I woke up this morning, I was, like, all wound up, and I have no idea why. So if I get a little crazy, then you'll know what happened. But speaking about God's Word, you know, sometimes, you know, and you know I talk about the fact that we need to be in God's Word every day, right? Each one of us. Well, that doesn't mean that every time you open up the Bible, it's going to be like hit you, you know, like between the eyes kind of thing. But some days you're just going to read and it's just, you know, okay, I was faithful. I did what I was supposed to do. But then other times, you know, this is what my experience is after many years. Other times where you just go, wow, God's Word is like, I can't, like, it's like hitting me. It's like speaking directly to me right now. But I just want you to know that it's not always like that. It's kind of like but for us to be faithful, because if we don't read it, then you'll never get those times either, right? I mean, this morning, like I said, I was wound up and I'm going, like, I don't even know if I can pay attention here. But then, you know, I have a little notebook that I write notes down and I see where I'm at. And I write scriptures and down there and different studies and things. And today, I couldn't even, you know, I ran out of time. There was just like so much that I was like, wow, look at this. Wow. It's like, and it was all for me. And I'm not going to tell you what that was. Maybe someday I will. But that's just being in God's Word. So anyways, James chapter 4, just a little bit of review. We talked about spiritual battles. And it says in verse 7, to submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And really, this section is, there's like 10 commands that are imperative, in the imperative mood or whatever you call it. And this is imperative. Number one is to submit yourself to God. Number two is to resist the devil. And then we looked at number 10 a while back, which is to humble yourselves before the Lord, and he'll lift you up. So, but in the middle of this, number two here is to resist the devil. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. And he will flee from you. We have an enemy. Let's be very clear about that. He's a fallen enemy. He's a fallen angel. He has, you know, angels along with him. It says a third of them, of the angels, fell and joined up with him. But pride was really what was his downfall. We saw that in Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28. But James tells us we need to resist, we need to fight, we need to take a stand, we need to be alert and not sleep through it, because he prowls around like a what? Like a roaring lion. He's got a big bark, right? But compared to Jesus, his bite is like nothing. But we need to resist him. Peter said, standing firm in the faith. It's not in our own strength that we can fight this fight. I think I made that point very clear. Greater, John says, is he that is in you than he that's in the world. So we have the greater one in us. They're not like equals. One is a created being and the other is the creator. There's a huge difference, and we need to always remember that. And we have the greater one living within us. And he in the world, he doesn't stand a chance compared to Jesus. So Paul said, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand. You got to have the armor of God, Ephesians chapter 6. Now today, we move on to commands number 3 through 9. We'll look at all of those, some more than others, but The title that I thought for this passage really is to get serious. Get serious. It just made me think of that show, Get Smart. Maybe that's what we need to do, is get smart about this. But we need to get serious, right? Some of you young people go, get smart, that means nothing to me. Like, we need to get serious. And really, the two things I see in this passage that we need to get serious about, number one is our relationship with God. We need to get serious about that. And number two is to get serious about sin, that what it is, and be real about it. So let's look at the first one, command number three, this idea of having a relationship to God. It says there, let's read verses 8 and 9. It says, come near to God, or draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. You see, we see the two things there, the relationship and then this idea of sin. So this thing about relationship, and we say it, and a lot of people say it, it's nothing that we made up, is that, you know, what's more important, a relationship with God or religion? You know, you can have a lot of religion, and you can go to church, you can do all the things, but if you don't have a relationship with God, it's you got nothing, really. There's a lot of religious people in the world following a lot of different religions, but if you don't have a relationship with God, you don't have anything, really. And so he's talking about this relationship that we have with God, and it's just wonderful, isn't it? It says, come near to God and he will come near to you. Draw near to God. The New Living Translation says, come close. Come close to God and he will come close to you. David Guzik said, this is an invitation, but it's also a promise, right? It's both. It's an invitation, come close, and it's a promise that he will come close to you. You see, the truth of the Bible from cover to cover is that God wants to have a close relationship with us. That's why he sent his son, so that we could have this close relationship with him. And he wants that. He desires that. That's why it says here in Psalm 73, it is good for us to draw near to God. I put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all your works. It's good. It's a good thing to draw near to God. That's what James says. Draw near, come close. Draw near, come close to God, and he will come close to you. So I'm thinking about this. Okay. That's what James says, and the Bible says, and the psalm writer in Psalm 73, we sang some of the verses from it today. He says it's good. It's a good thing. So how do you do that? Do you go take a class somewhere? How do you get close to God? How do you come close to him? I like to ask these. I'm a kind of practical person, and I say, well, how? This is the question. How do you do that? The first thing I thought of was, how do you get closer to anyone? Right? You want to get close to somebody? Well, how do you do that? And a lot of these same things apply because God is a person, too. He's not a human being like we are, but he is a person. In fact, we are created in the image of God, and that's why we have kind of personhood, because God is a person. So how do you get close to somebody? Well, I listed a few things, and we could come up with a whole bunch more, but I think the first one that came to my mind is time. How do you get close to somebody if you never spend any time with them? Are you going to get close to them? But if I spend time with you, we're gonna get a little bit closer. And the more time we spend together, we're going to get a little bit closer. It's the same with God, you know. The more we're aware of him, the more we're giving him our hearts and the time of our lives. And that doesn't only mean coming to church. It doesn't only mean spending a half hour in devotions in the morning. It's a daily, all-day thing where his time is your time, and your time is his time. So, how much time do you have for him? James says, come near. come close. It takes time. The second thing that I came up with was His Word, and I've already been talking about that, right? His Word, but there's something about listening. If you want to get close to somebody, you have to listen to them, right? How many times you meet with somebody or you're with somebody and they just talk and talk and talk, and you and well, there's two sides of that coin, right? You got somebody that just never stops talking, but you got to be listening. And then there's a side where you're talking so much you never hear what the other person says because you never give them a chance to say anything, right? So how can you get close to them? How can you know them? I've seen this, I've read this, you know, somebody that just talks and talks and talks and you never get to say anything, and then they walk away and say, wow, it's really good to get to know you. After they talked for a half an hour and you said nothing. Well, that isn't true, is it? It's not true. We need to talk to the Lord, but we also need to listen, you know. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, he said, guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Go near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools who do not know that they do wrong. You've got to be able to listen. And he talks there in that chapter about making promises and saying all this stuff, and you never back it up. It's just talk. But are we listening for what God is trying to say? How are we going to get close to Him if we're not really listening to what He has to say? The third thing that I thought of was we need to come humbly. You know, commands 1 and number 10, they both deal with this submitting to Him and humbling ourselves under Him. If we want to get to know God, we have to humble ourselves. If we come in, you know, barrels loaded with pride and arrogance and all that, we're not going to get to know Him. If you try to get to know somebody and you're so full of pride, they just reject you. They just say, that guy is so proud. All he talks about is himself. And you know what? I don't want to get to know that person. But if you come in humbly and you're willing to, you know, just be real and humble, This is how we make progress in relationship. And so it's the same with God, that we humble ourselves before Him. We humbly come and say, God, I want to know You. I'm listening. I'm here. I know You're here, but I'm here now. You have my attention. And I, like I said, there's other things we can add to the list, but we need to keep moving. The fourth thing that I saw here is we have to come by Jesus. That's so important to know. People say, well, I'm in a relationship with God. You know, I had someone that said to me, you know, I've got an understanding with the man upstairs, right? And I said, okay, but if that understanding doesn't include His Son, then you really don't have an understanding, because the way to get to the man upstairs, the Father, is through the Son. That's how we go. That's the way He provided for us. Jesus said He was the way, the truth, and the life. And what? No one goes to the Father except what? Through Him. So He is the way. Hebrews chapter 10 says this, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is His body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance of faith. He said Jesus opened the way into the most holy, that this place where, you know, the most holy place of the temple or the tabernacle where the presence of God was. And He says we can go right in now because of the blood of Jesus, because of what Jesus did. He opened the way through the curtain. He says, because of all that, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart. Let's be sincere about it. Don't go to God and pretend, well, you know, I'm here to, you know, draw close to you, and you know, our hearts are so far away from that. Be sincere. Maybe you want to say, Lord, I don't even know what that means. I don't know how to do it. I'm not even sure that, you know, I want to do it, but I'm here, so please. Draw near to God. He will draw near to us. That's a promise. That's a big promise. David said to his son Solomon, he said this, you Solomon, my son, know the God of your father. Know the God of your father and serve him with a whole heart, with a willing mind, for the Lord searches all hearts and understands every plan and thought. If you seek him, he will be found by you, but if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. There's kind of two camps there, isn't it? That's what it was talking about in Psalm 73. If you seek him, he'll be found by you. If you draw close to him, he will draw close to you. This is the promise. But if we never bother to seek him, we forsake him. I don't need God in my life. I don't need, you know, I don't need any kind of religion or relationship or anything that you're talking about here. I can do just fine on my own. We've made a choice. See, God has given us choice, right? Draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. John Corson said this. He said, every time I have been serious about seeking God, serious, note, he has made himself known to me through a scripture or in my heart or through the body of Christ. Draw near to God, he will draw near to you. When? When you're serious. That's why I'm saying we need to get serious about this. If this is what we want, this is what we say we want, well then get serious about it and do something about it. We have choices we make in this life. You know, it's kind of a scary thing, but you know, I have an iPhone, right? Funny, it's kind of like on Sundays, it pops up on my screen. It says, this is how much screen time you had this week. And I look at that and I go, what was I thinking? Oh, yeah, I wasn't. How much screen time do you have and how much God time do you have? That's kind of scary. Don't say that. You're making, you know, you're coming after me. Don't do that. Now, I'm coming after me. I'm coming after us because if we're going to draw near to God, we need to get serious about it. And maybe there are some things we need to say, I need a little bit less of that and a little bit more of you. Part number one. How about part number two? You know, part number two is kind of rough. It's kind of tough, right? Get serious about sin. Why? Because sin separates. You know, we're talking about relationship. The context is relationship with God. Well, sin separates us from God. It separates us from one another. If I sin against you, there is like a wall between us, right? The relationship is damaged. It's broken. Same thing with God, too. So then he has all these commands about sin and what we need to do. Keep in mind what I already said, though, about the blood of Jesus, because without that, we have no chance of doing what he says to do, by the way. But the first thing he says, what? He says, wash your hands, you sinners. Wash your hands, you sinners. This means to cleanse, to purify. You know, what do we need to do? What do I need to do here? How do I do that? You come to Jesus and you ask him. That's what David said. Cleanse me. Psalm 51, David, you know, after his sin with Bathsheba, he came before the Lord. He confessed. He turned to God. He said, cleanse me, wash me, purify me, restore me. You know, Aaron and his sons, they were the priests, and before they could go into the tabernacle, before the temple was built, Before they could actually go into the tabernacle, there was an altar, and then there was a tabernacle. But in between the altar and the tabernacle, there was a basin, right? There was a laver, they called it, and it was full of water. And they would have to stop there, and they would have to wash before they could go in. Sometimes, you know, we need to get serious about sin. And it says, whenever they would enter the tent of meeting, they would wash. They should wash. The truth of the matter is, we are all sinners. That's what James says. James hits us right between the eyes, doesn't he? But the Bible does too. We are all sinners. Every single one of us. And pride says, no, that's not me. Isaiah said, wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. There are some things we need to stop doing. Well, I just go to church so I can hear nice, pleasant messages about, you know, how good I am and you know, just love yourself and you know what? The Bible says we need to get right with God. I'm sorry, but that's what it says. In that chapter in Isaiah, it says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be what? As white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. How? By the blood of Jesus. That's the only way our sins are cleansed. That's the only way we're made white and pure. Not because I stopped doing it, I never sinned again. Good luck with that. When was the last time that worked for you? I'm never going to sin again. That's it. I've made my mind up. I'm never going to sin again. Oops, I just did. What else does he say? Command number 5. That was number 4, by the way. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Purify your hearts, you double-minded, he says. You know, it always gets to the heart, doesn't it? It's always got to get to the very heart of who you are. And that's not that organ that's inside your chest there. It's the heart of who you are, of who we are. That's the heart of us, of me, of you. You know, Jesus had some harsh words to say right to the Pharisees. He called them hypocrites. He said, Isaiah prophesied about you. He said, he quoted Isaiah. He said, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You can say, well, I draw near to you and you're just saying the words, but your heart isn't there and it's not reaching the heart. Well, again, you have nothing. He said, you're just being hypocrites. He said it again. He said it, that's chapter 15 of Matthew, chapter 23 of Matthew. He says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You cleanse the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside they're full of extortion, self-indulgence. He says, outwardly you can look good, but inwardly, no. This is like, get on our face and cry out to God, wash me, cleanse me, I want to be close to you. That's really what this is all about, isn't it? He says you're double-minded. Interesting, I looked up that word in the... Where did I look that up? Blue Letter Bible. And the Greek for it is dipsychos, for double-minded. Di, D-I, psychos. That's what... When we're double-minded, and we saw a few verses back, you know, to be in love with the world and you know... trying to be in love with God, a friend of the world, and trying to be, we're double-minded. James has said that earlier as well. It is kind of psycho to try to do both. We've got to be one or the other. The NLT says this, the translation of that word double-minded, says your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Your loyalty is divided. what does he say? He says, you know, to purify your heart, you double-minded. You can't do both. The last three I kind of just lumped together. He says to grieve, to mourn, to wail. That's pretty heavy stuff, isn't it? That word for wail, it was used when Peter, after he denied the Lord and the rooster crowed, says he wept bitterly. It's the same word, he wailed. It's also used of the woman who was at the feet of Jesus, really worshiping him, but she was wailing. She was weeping. She was weeping at his feet. It says in John chapter 16, most assuredly I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. What's the way to joy? It's what he's saying here. He's not saying you walk around like that all the time, but this is the way to joy. This is the way to the relationship, to build the relationship with God, where we say, you know what, I'm a sinner, and God forgive me. And it's this word repentance, which we've kind of made into a bad word. It's not a bad word, it's a good word, because it means turning direction from this way, turning towards God. That's what repentance is, and that's what we're called to do. It's funny, James doesn't, you know, give us a whole list of all the sins, but you know, I was thinking about this. I think if we're honest, if we're truthful, we know what our sins are. I don't have to point them out to you, but you know what the sins are in your life. You know what Jesus is pointing to when he says you need to make some changes, and I know. The last one, he says there, command number 9. We've already looked at 10. He says, change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Jesus said in Matthew 6, right, blessed are those who mourn, for they'll be comforted. This is the way up. The way up is down. We've been saying that, to humble ourselves before the Lord, to confess our sin before the Lord, and He will lift us up. Jesus said, blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. You shall laugh. I love that. You shall laugh. You know, I thought of this when Moses in the book of Exodus chapter 3, right, Moses, he saw that burning bush, right? You know the story, you know what happens there, but you know, it was the presence of God right there, right? And what was Moses told to do? He says, take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. It's holy ground to meet with God, to draw close to Him. It's holy ground. Let's not just think I'm just going to have this buddy-buddy relationship with God. Though He wants to be our friend, and Moses was called the friend of God, right? Or was that Abraham? Somebody fact check me, please. The point is that we're talking about a holy God here. We're talking about God, the creator of the universe. There's no sin in Him, no darkness at all. We're gonna turn to that verse right now. In fact, let's turn to it right now. James, 1 John chapter 1. 1 John, so it's just James, Peter, and John, right? So turn to 1 John chapter 1. And verse 5, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, I'm going to quote from the New King James Version. He said, this is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. No darkness at all. God is light. If we just use the words that we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. See, he's talking about fellowship. This is what we've been saying here, this relationship. If we say that we have a fellowship with him, we say, oh, I'm really close to God, but our lives are, doing something else, it's a lie. It's not true. But if we walk in the light with him, we have fellowship with one another, with him and with one another, other believers. And the blood of Jesus, Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. That's that pride, and the truth is not in us. And verse 9, a verse we all, I think, most of us know, we've memorized it. If we confess our sins, what? He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that what James is saying? Cleanse, purify. How do we do that? We go to him, we turn to him, we confess our sins, and he is faithful, he's just, he will cleanse us, he'll open the way. That's what he wants to do for you and for me. One last scripture I'll put on the board and then we'll pray. Isaiah 55. It's interesting because Isaiah, has some of the most incredible verses in it, but it's also, there's a whole lot of woes in there. Woe to you who do this and do that. But look what it says here in Isaiah 55, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him. God, the Lord, will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. You see, there's so much you could just spend a whole day looking at these verses, but it almost is saying, you know what, you need to take advantage now. Don't wait. Well, I'm going to seek the Lord, after I graduate, after I, finish this, after I do that, after I make a lot of money, after all these things. He's saying now, seek the Lord while he may be found, while he's near. He's right here in front of you. Romans says, he's right there. The word is in your mouth. It's right. Just call out to him. But sometimes, we don't want to forsake our way. We don't want to make any changes, and so we're stuck there. He said, let him return, because God will always have mercy if we truly go to him in sincerity. Always. He will, it says. That's a promise. He will have mercy. He will abundantly pardon. If you wait until you have got it all together, not going to happen. Never going to go. Well, I'm ashamed of what I've done. I can't go to him now. Well, you know what? That's when we need to go to him. That's when we need to fall and do all the things James is talking about here. And that's how we draw close to the Lord. And as Isaiah said here, he will have mercy. He will draw close to us and forgive us and have mercy and pardon. Isn't that beautiful? So let's just do it, right? I had this friend I worked with in California, and he said, there's only one thing left to do, and that's do it. We have to do what the Word of God says. Don't just say it, but do it. This is for you. This is for me. This is for every one of us. Our relationship with the Almighty Creator God. Let's pray, shall we? Lord, we just come before you. We are sinners. We just confess that freely. We're really rotten. Lord, we fail you. We fail ourselves. We fail our families. We fail our friends. We fall. We stumble. But you have made a way for us to be forgiven. We confess our sins before you, and you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Cleanse us. We pray here today, Lord. We want to be close to you. We want to draw near to you. We want to know that you draw near to us. Father, help us in that. We have a battle, you know. You know all about us. Your word says that you know that we're just dust. We're just dirt. But you love us anyways. You know that we have a battle going on between our hearts and our flesh. Sometimes we do the things we don't want to do, and we don't do the things that we want to do. Paul talks about it. Help us, Lord. Forgive us. May we walk with you and talk with you, and you tell us that we are your own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, no other has ever known, walking with you, together with you. Father, I pray too for any here that maybe want to know you, never have surrendered to Jesus. Today, they've heard about you, that your son Jesus is the way. There's no other way to have a walk with you, a relationship with you. Today, if that's you, you just surrender your heart and say, Jesus, I ask you in. I receive you into my life. I believe in you today. You are the Son of God who died for my sins. Please come in. Save me today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together, shall we?